from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Jake.
You know, I thought it'd be nice and polite if we started a show with a nice hello, because we could say hello to each other like we could say hello to everybody who's listening to the bonus podcast. Welcome back, everybody.
So we're saying hello, Ryan, hello, Jake, hello, viewers.
Hello,
listeners,
everybody.
Listeners.
Hello, everybody. Yeah. So it's nicer than saying I'm Jacob. Of course you all know that I'm Jacob, but there's still a nice way to kind of introduce my name in a hello, Jake, from somebody other than me is good. Besides, I figured that for new listeners, it might be a way for them to immediately be able to associate who's who based on sort of like their counter introduction.
I suppose, although it's not that different from I'm Ryan and I'm Jake.
Yeah, but the whole thing is we sound so alike when we do our own names because we're talking out of context that people don't know who we are because the conversation's out of context.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to give that a try. So, hi, Jake.
Hello, Ryan.
And hello, listeners. Welcome back to The Good Atheist. Well, at least welcome me back. You've been doing shows on your own.
I did two shows with Jeff, who filled in the mighty big shoes.
My big shoes.
Your big shoes. And I tried to organize something for the other week that you weren't there, and it just didn't work out. It turns out that, you know, everybody that I know was away, like my ex-girlfriend that, you know, because we talk a lot online still, you know, she's gone in Jamaica, and then you were gone in Tennessee, and then our other roommate was gone in Philadelphia or something like that. Jeff was constantly working and being completely and utterly, like, not anywhere near communicatable.
And
I'm just like, I had nobody to fucking talk to. So I stopped talking. Like, I wasn't saying anything. I was just having days where the only thing I'm talking to is your damn cat. And we all know that your cat talks the same way all the time.
Yep.
Just sort of meow right in your face. Constant meowing.
Yep.
Even now, we had to edit a part out of the show due to its meowing.
Oh, always. That's pretty much the only editing thing. No mess-ups, no removing any of those incorrect snippets of information or vaguely racist comments.
We only have to edit out the stupid cat.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? You know what? I'm hoping that the show is going to be good. I'm not going to guarantee you guys anything because, again, it's like,
it's been so long. You're rusty.
I'm rusty, man. I'm rusty just talking.
Trust me, Jake. When you are such a marathon biker, you don't have to worry about forgetting how to ride your bike. Don't worry a little bit.
You sure?
100%. Right. I think it's actually probably good because maybe now, I don't know how it'd be good, but I figure it'll kind of even you out a little bit. You've got all these ideas inside you that you want to share with people. So let's share.
Well, we're starting with a mailbag. So this is like a softball entry back into radio. So this is a feature we tried. This is the first time we try this. Mm-hmm. And we decided, well, what better way to try it than with the people that already pay for the show? So we know that there's lots of good feelings. But you know what? I was fair enough that I said, if you want to ask a question, you get the show for free.
I dig it. Yeah, it makes sense.
So, I mean, anybody that wants to participate gets it free anyways. That's what we're going to do from now on. Mailbag editions for Good Atheist are going to be bonus shows because you guys are the ones that pay for it. You guys want to have questions. And we're going to do the fan service that's necessary.
Agreed.
And I think mailbags are a nice way to go. Whether or not we'll be able to do that on a month-by-month basis, we're not yet at that stage. Good Atheist is still growing, you know? It's nice to see that we're starting to have regulars that come to the site that you can now count on. People that if I would have asked for this mailbag thing 2 months ago,
yep,
forget about it.
Oh, yeah. The website used to be a harsh wasteland where it was just like
nothing happening.
Tumbleweed flying by.
Tumbleweed.
It's like there was the iTunes we have, our mighty radio listener numbers, and now you're bringing the website up to par, too. So I just want to tip my hat to you, good sir, on that. And, of course, only bigger things coming. Way too fucking people until you see what's coming.
So many good things coming.
Just talking to our computer guy who's going to be turning everything into just a big pile of OMFNG.
Oh, yeah. And just some really cool ideas that we had for helping people become members, even if they're not. I don't know if you guys checked out one of the video conference that we had done on freemium, but one of the things that I had talked about on it was the fact that I wanted to get figure out ways for if you can't pay for the show, just because I don't know, you don't have any money, you don't have the credit cards, or you don't have PayPal, because you know we there's still a limit to how many places or people can become members. And sometimes that limit's not lack of fucking interest, it's just lack of funds. Mm-hmm. And our challenge to ourselves is saying, like, we want to reach out and we want to give people options to be able to listen to us. You know, like, there are other ways that people could provide value other than just fucking giving us money.
Yep.
So we're going to be starting this. So some of you who are listening to this show right now, you may have been early, you know, like, late adopters who are just kind of going back and wondering, when did they start thinking about all these weird new experiments? This is probably one of the first ones. Mm. The last bonus podcast where I offered surveys for the show, that's the real first one. That's the launch of it. Mm. But we're going way beyond that. Yeah. Way, way beyond.
Anyways, how about I start reading questions? Because sometimes I feel like this is more our mad scientist show than it is our atheist show. Let's get into some atheism. I want to call God a cocksucker. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. Isaac says, you should do the show naked since you'll be all alone, or maybe you do that anyways? ? So he's asking, do we do the show naked? He's asking, what are you wearing, guys?
You know, I will admit that most of the time I'm in my pajamas when I work. Mm. Yeah, PJs are the way to go, because I don't know what it is about all the pants that I have, but they basically crush my nuts.
If sweatpants were feasible for men to wear out. See, this is weird, because back in the day, guys could wear sweatpants and it was no big thing.
Which
now,
day?
Now the only people who are able to wear them sweatpants out are lazy student chicks who are just kind of going to their classes in their sweatpants. Past that, guys can't wear sweatpants. It's
I have
lame.
A thing for lazy student chicks in sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Well, this is the whole thing. Like, you have chicks who go out and they dress up all nice, and then you hit on them, and they're like, well, I'm not out to be blah, 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 you know? This is the truth. When they aren't out to be hit on and this and that, then they dress like the lazy chick going to classes in her dumpy-ass sweatpants, like, and her
fucking hair
is all over the place.
Why would she want to dress up?
Jeez. Exactly.
You're not gonna try to pick up everywhere you go. Although, I'll tell you one thing. If that's what you go to school, that's where you should be looking hot. Meet up guys at school. Don't meet them in bars. That's a mistake.
No, let me tell you what. Women, stay away from guys who are in school because they're idiots.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, if you're a chick and you're looking for a smart guy, I'm sorry, school is not the place to go. You go for one of those like 20 years older than you guy who has figured shit out. That's the only way you're going to find yourself a real man. Because other than that,
That's true. We are boys.
We'll be smart. We're still figuring shit out. We're still dogs, and we're still dicks. We're still assholes.
But it takes... You know what? Here's the thing. I had read a study that was comparing how long it takes for people to mature to adulthood, and it's been climbing, and this is, I think that we're at that stage where there's such a huge degree of sophistication in what we need to learn that for many of us we are still in our juvenile periods. Mm. You know, we're only coming out of it, you know, now in our 30s. You know, it used to be at 20 you were an adult. Oh God.
Okay, moving on. And if Ryan is in Tennessee land, who's looking after his cat? You, Jacob? That doesn't bode well. Let me answer that, Jake. Yeah, actually I came home and things were all well and good. And that's actually impressive, because the last two times I've traveled, the first time Jake was like, "Yeah, your cat's all thrown up because he drank the toilet duck out of the toilet and he's been throwing up for the past few days." I'm like, so that was the first time. And, of course, that it wasn't your fault that you put toilet duck in the toilet and didn't close the lid. It was the cat's fault for being an idiot and drinking out of the toilet.
It's an idiot cat. It's like the whole thing is that if it's not a cat that you can let to its own devices, right? It's a high-maintenance cat. Let's face it. It's a very high-maintenance cat. So, yeah, it survived. It survived.
Yeah, it survived for once. I was very impressed at the fact that I got home and he hadn't pissed and shit all over my bedroom in righteous indignation. So it worked out pretty well. Okay, moving on. Colin asks, I hear you talk about your book a lot on the show, and I'm a fairly new listener, so I'm not really familiar with what your book is going to be all about. You could choose any number of other, especially recent, atheist authors like Dawkins, Hitchens, Harris, and they all have great ideas and make great points about various aspects and topics. Where is your book going to fill in a gap that's missing in the current literature? What about your book is going to make it worth something, taking off the shelf at the bookstore and displaying on my shelf at home?
Ba-boom. That's the big. That's like question number two, man. I thought this was a softball fucking show.
No, I was reading some of these, and I'm like, these are actually pretty difficult fucking questions to answer, man.
I'm always up for a challenge. Okay, here's the thing. The book. I'm not saying you're going to put that book next to your Dawkins and next to your Hitchens. I'm not those guys, man. I'm not those guys. I don't think I'll ever be that big. But here's what I want to do with a book. I want to make a book that is interesting and compelling and about religion and about God, but not necessarily in a, you know, here's why there is no God kind of perspective. We have those books. I don't think I need to talk about that shit anymore. But there's still lots to talk about. There's still lots of issues. Here's the thing. The way I see it is that there's still lots of things that I think we need to be looking at. And they're not solved. So, you know, like the situation in Nigeria, for instance. You know, this is something I find that, you know, it's not getting enough mentions. Even I find I neglect it once in a while. And I always try to make sure that I include it somewhere so it doesn't get forgotten. Because that's what worries me, that we forget things sometimes as we chase for the next big fucking story. I want to go back and I want to look at all the stories that really kind of matter. All the stuff that we've kind of like put behind us because we're always pressing forward. I'm like, let's look back a bit. What's still kind of like a problem and what might have gotten worse as a problem? So I thought if I would really make a book, I could do it on that subject. Now, with that said, that's a particular option. I'm not ready right now to kind of devote like 100, just to commit to 100% of what the vision of that book is going to be, because, you know, I'm still searching myself. You know, I look back at some of the old posts and I'm like, fuck, I could expand on that post and make a good chapter out of that. But, you know, maybe that's not what I want to do. Maybe that's why I've been experimenting with drawing. I thought maybe of doing a hybrid between a comic and a book might be interesting. You know what? Here's the thing. I want to ask you guys. I've been asking, you know, in some of the posts. I know some people think it's kind of a ridiculous thing of saying, why are you asking me what you want to write? But that makes perfect sense if you really think about it. What is not being talked about? What do you guys want to know more about? I market to you guys. So
the problem is I think people are wanting these stupendous new ideas that they don't. It's one of those things where I don't even know the question that I want you to answer. You just have to figure it out and answer it and blow my mind. That's kind of, I like the idea of the book being a collection of all of the fucked up things that happen in religion that are still going on. That's kind of like, because you get so many people that say, and this is what I've been hearing a lot, is where people try and tie religion to being a moral human being. And the people who are on the fence are always saying, well, you know, I consider myself an agnostic because not that I believe in the religious God, but that's just there might be some kind of almighty whatever. And then as far as religion goes, hey, it's a good moral tale to keep us all in line. And I say, what is this keep us all in line moral tale bullshit?
Because does it keep in line? Who? Nobody. Look at the fucking statistics. Nobody's kept in line.
Yeah, if you want to think about it, it's actually justified people doing a lot of horrible things.
Yeah, absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. I mean, we it's just been around forever. It's kind of like a person wonders, hey, you know, should I get rid of that impacted tooth that's causing pain in my mouth? It's always been there. I assume I need it. No, some things are like harmful. You have an appendix. That's not a good thing. You know, the appendix sucks. It doesn't do anything and it kills. Like, you know how many appendix surgeries everybody like they need in the States? 500,000. That's a good thing that we have good doctors, because if you were in any other country, that's 500,000 deaths that you'd get. You know what I mean? Anyways.
Okay, you want to keep rolling?
Yeah, let's keep rolling.
Okay, Razzle asks, I don't know if this is the type of question you're looking for. They're all the type of question we're looking
for. Sure, man.
Don't ever worry about it. You can ask whatever you want. Whatever. Don't worry about it. But I was wondering how you deal with Christmas. Do you celebrate it as a secular holiday or just ignore it altogether? Also, what about when you're at a meal and somebody wants to say grace? How do you react?
You know, the grace thing is probably the one thing that I've just never been good at dealing with mm-hmm. at the table. Because there have been times where, you know, all of a sudden, persons at that table, a family table, I'm thinking specifically of my uncle, mm-hmm. very religious man, and he wants to say grace. And he wants everybody to bow his head in order to respect what he's about to say. And that puts me in a conflicting kind of position here, because I don't want to be disrespectful, but I don't want to be forced to respect something I don't respect. mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm put in a position I do not like being put in. And depending on my mood, and i.e. I mean a degree of alcohol that I've consumed,
you'll be more or less belligerent about the whole situation, like, bullshit.
Ugh. Oh, I'm never that belligerent. I'd be belligerent as I don't bow my head. It's like, you can say what you want. Respect me in me not wanting to bow. I do not bow. That is not one thing that Jacob Fortan fucking does. Not bow. I may be a coward, but I would rather fucking die than bow. Fuck that shit. Fuck it.
Ah, prideful Jake.
But you know, here's the thing. Christmas and stuff like that, you know, it's always an easy decision for me there, because you know me, I hate all holidays. I'm not a big, huge holiday guy. I hate Halloween. I'm not a big Christmas fan. I like 2 days of the year, Thanksgiving and my birthday. Those are the fucking big days for me. They're like massive party days in my mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Christmas, that's all for my family, so I just put up with whatever the hell they want to do. If that includes listening to carols and... and doing really dinky stuff, I just do it because they want me to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, I look at it like this. Christmas has become so non-religious that it's practically not a religious.
It's true.
I mean, maybe if you were having to do all this annoying, hardcore religious stuff, but for the most part, even the carols are pretty fucking borderline.
Yeah, and everybody says happy holidays now. You wouldn't even know it's Christmas.
It's like, oh, you can't enjoy music that's religious because you're an atheist. Oh, well, what the hell? I love requiems. Requiems are all about, you know, take this soul up into you, dear Lord. It's like, I will listen to choral music, religious music, to the nonstop. When I was down in Tennessee, trust me, half the stations were Christian stations. You don't realize it until this is a pretty catchy pop song. And they're like, give you to Jesus. And you're like, huh.
Yeah, those motherfuckers getting better.
Yeah.
Luckily for them, most people don't give a shit about lyrics. So.
But I've never had a problem with Christmas, just because Christmas has never been about Jesus at all to me. I don't think it's really about Jesus to anybody.
Well, it used to not be about him. It used to be about lots of other pagan gods.
Yep.
There's been plenty of gods that have claimed that day, sir.
Christians squatted Christmas. They totally
squatted on it. That was a fucking massive squat right there. That was a fucking gigantic con job.
So don't ever worry about it, because you could just as well be celebrating, I don't know, Zeus or...
Well, think about this. Easter, right? There's nothing Easter about the celebrations that I've had. There's nothing religious about Easter as far as I'm concerned. For me as a kid, the only thing I can tell you about Easter is we were egg hunting. What the fuck does that have to do with Jesus, I ask you?
No,
nothing.
Here's how it works. In between the time when he dies and he raises from the dead, he's in a zombie state where he goes around laying chocolate eggs.
Oh my God. That is
Halloween. This is
I was eating his poo. I was eating his egg-shaped poo.
Why not?
Wow.
Yep,
you taught me something. That was, you know what that is? That is offensive. I think I'm going to have to make a cartoon about that.
Yeah, but there you go. That's my opinion on Christmas. As far as saying grace, I'll hold the hands and I'll... I agree with the whole idea. I don't close my eyes and pretend I'm fucking doing something, thinking really hard.
Yeah, it's like pretending that you're singing the hymns. That's not happening.
No, it's like close your eyes and send your cosmic email to God. Ooh, think about it real hard. Oh, man.
You've got mail.
Yeah, I don't do that. But, I mean, I was in church. I went to church with my mom again this weekend, because the way I look at it is, for her, it's a social thing, and she wants to show me off to her church buddies. So I'll go. And when they did the stuff, I just stood there with my mouth shut. And when they did the prayer stuff, I sat there with my mouth shut. And I just didn't fucking go along, and that's really all I needed.
And I'm 100% sure that your involvement in this is not mentioned in the slightest.
Oh, exactly. No, and they were asking me what I do. I'm just like, I don't even tell them. I don't tell them anything. It's what ultimate fighting and atheism is like. That's double go to hell.
Yeah.
It's just no good.
No one's going to be impressed at church.
Okay, Matt says, I'm sort of interested in how you got started in all of this. Started with the podcasting, started with the website. I recall a post saying you've been posting to the site for over 3 years. What made you start? Were you religious, raised religious, or religious at some point in your life?
You know, well, actually, you know what? I was going back in time myself, because when I was looking at the date that I really started blogging and Good Atheist started, because, you know, I figure, again, with the book, there'd be a section on just, you know, the development of the blog, the adventure that is our fucking, you know, lives, or the experiments that we run in our blogs. But I was going back, and it actually, Good Atheist got its start. First, it was called something called Unchurch. That's how it all started. Like, there was basically, I wanted to start an organization called Unchurch, and that's where I wanted to just see if I could get a non-religious organization to be tax exempt. That was originally what my plan was, and that's how I started. So I started doing a little blog called Unchurch on blog. What's
Blogspot?
Blogspot. And that didn't last long. So once I found out that, no, indeed, yeah, that's not happening, Unchurch was abandoned. And, you know, I found goodatheist.net as a URL. I think it took me months just to figure out a URL that didn't totally
that wasn't being
suck.
Once again squatted by religious
people.
Oh,
yeah. That was the biggest realization. That you know, and this is back when the atheist blogosphere was just really starting. I mean, there obviously have been guys that have been at it for a while. Like, I think Austin Klein, the guy at About.com, has been doing it since 1997. I mean, that's when the internet practically fucking started, and blogging about atheists. And I'm like, you, sir, are one of the first ones.
Yeah, if you edit HTML files to update your site back then you were an early adopter. Yeah. And congratulations to you, good sir.
Yeah, congratulations. That's why sometimes, you know, you do searches and his posts appear a lot, because, I mean, that's an impressively dated fucking article.
That's a long time to be banging your head up against the atheist wall.
I can't. You know what? I don't even think I can do it for that long. Guys, I have a revelation. I don't think I can do it for that long.
Well, you think about 10 years, 20 years, it starts to get a little bit scary, doesn't it? But we'll be rich and famous by then. Hugely successful
we'll
somehow.
We'll be able to do lots of other stuff, and I'm sure we'll transition. We're not going to stay static at the same for 10 years. Could you imagine?
No.
Shoot me in the mouth with a shotgun. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. You know, show. You know what, guys? It's not going to reach show number 600 for the bonus podcast. It's not.
No, we could be.
We're going to have a TV show by then. Trust me. We're going TV, or we're not going to number 600. It's stopping at 600 and moving to TV if I go broke.
I look forward to when we hit number 600, somebody saying, ha ha, your life sucks.
That's then the next day, found dead, head blown open.
Mm-mm.
So what was the question? I'm sorry.
Okay, you're still wanting to know how you started the podcast how whether or not you were religious at some point in your life.
Let me answer the religious one. No, actually. I mean, I was like every other kid, born an atheist and just never really taught religion at all until I was in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, all I knew from my dad was that it was just a load of bullshit I shouldn't even bother with.
So that's the whole thing. You did get a negative... thing from your dad. You were raised against the church.
But not from my mom. I mean, as far as I remember, we just never talked about religion.
Ever. Yeah, so all you got was the negative from your dad, right? So there you go.
Yeah, sure enough. But, I mean, I saw him every two weekends, and we never got along, so...
Ah, true.
we were still butting heads back then. So if anything, it would have made me more likely to want to be religious. Mm. You know, it's like that old rebel against your dad. If I wanted to rebel against my dad, becoming a fucking priest would have been the way to do it.
Mm.
And what a priest I would have made.
Yeah, with your good talking voice.
Good talking voice and egotism. Because really, when you think about it, a preacher is the most egotistical motherfucker you've ever met in your life. This man not only believes that he has a line up to God, but he believes he's interpreting everything that this...
That he can tell you how to live.
Yeah, that he can tell married couples, like a Roman Catholic priest can tell married couples how they should be married. Yeah. Right. Real expert there. Guy's never been in a relationship. Yeah. Never had sex. As for the podcast, actually, the way that we got started was Ryan was doing a thing on fightlinker.com, the Ultimate Fighting Project. I was trying to do the Good Atheist thing, and the best way you can always do something, I believe, in life is to share it. So we were like, well, why don't you help me with yours, and I'll help you with, and you help me with mine, and let's fucking combine our talents.
Yeah, he basically knew that he had me on the hook for some work, and he was like, time to get this Good Atheist fucker rolling. So that's how
I called in some favors.
Yeah,
we were like, hey, remember that thing you said you'd do? Time to do it. But, hey, you're not unhappy, right? Slave man, are you unhappy?
No, no, I'm quite happy. Okay, Razzle asks, with all of its atheism, is YouTube an invention of the devil?
You know what I love about the internet as it is right now? Because I think in the future, the internet's going to be really fucking different. But for now, it is kind of the realm of the elite. And the elite are non-religious. Let's not fucking beat around the bush. The smartest people, they don't believe in God. And if they do, they keep that shit locked up in a different drawer, all right? There ain't no fucking interference there. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, God locked away, not interfering with the way that I see the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
So it is strongly atheistic to a certain degree. And, you know, all the sites like Dig, Reddit, you know, all the big social sites, huge atheist leaning, huge. I don't know if that's going to last forever, but I love it. I mean, A, I love the internet, and B, I love the atheists biased in the internet. It is awesome. It's like, why do I love it so much? I mean, it's the perfect environment for us.
Well, we have such a situation nowadays where it just seems like people want to live in ignorance, where the truth is readily out there. It's not like the truth is out there X-Files style, where it's like,
have you found the truth, Mulder? No, not yet, but we will find it someday.
It's like the truth is out there on Wikipedia. It's like you could set it up in Firefox, so anytime you type anything into your fucking address bar, it goes right to the page on Wikipedia, and you can learn about anything, and you can read the source, and you can find out the truth. But there's a whole bunch of people that just, they live in this weird fantasy world. Fortunately, they are not of the majority on the internet, at least not yet, or at least not of the active users.
Here's the way that I see it, though, that there are probably guys that start off, say, you know, their minds are made up about something in particular, then they find the internet. Do you think that they're going to stay the same? The internet changes you. Okay, like it is inevitable that it will have some kind of impact on you, because just the sheer volume of opinions that you are just going to be in touch with is not something that a lot of people can really deal with at first. If you fucking lived in, you know, where a village of 100 people, and then all of a sudden you're taking part in a forum with tens of thousands of people just as a transition,
mm-hmm.
like that would blow your fucking mind, right? And there are still people that are just... that they have never been able to interact with that many people or with that many difference of opinion.
Yeah, but you got to also understand that once you get up past a certain amount of number of people that you're interacting with, the communication breaks down. You're no longer getting all these fucking great ideas from all these great minds. You're getting the comments like you get on a YouTube video where it's like, oh my God, you're a fag.
Well, obviously people try to seek places that where they'll have like the similar kind of dialogue.
Yeah.
The entire reason that we operate is because of that purpose. People want to communicate and come in contact with us because they're like, I think similarly to you, sir. Can we do business? Mm-hmm. It's like, let's enjoy each other's company. And you know, that's what we do. You know, like we're trying to make a living out of it, but that's what we offer. We offer a singularity of thought.
So yeah.
Like, who wants to know what other people are thinking like, and who wants to share in that? But with that said, I think that a lot of times people aren't being exposed to ideas that maybe they'll naturally fall in love with, just that they never knew. You know, sometimes an idea is perfect for you. It just fits you like a lock and key. Like maybe for you, it's just you have a crazy understanding for math and you never even knew it. But as soon as you're given a problem, it's just boom, it just triggers something. And it's honestly what happens for a lot of people. You know, we talk about it in mixed martial art. There's this guy called George St. Pierre. And he's like this phenomenon. And essentially, the reason he's a phenomenon is just because you show him something and then he becomes a master at it. Like as if he should have been doing this his entire life, but he just has an affinity to it. He just had a natural ability to learn the fight game.
Yeah, he's got an almost autistic / OCD level of things.
Tendency. But I'm like, there is something out there probably for you. If you're at a stage in your life where you don't know what you want to do, my only suggestion is you have not had enough of broad experiences with different ideas or different ways to go about living your life. You haven't found the right fucking combination.
Because if there's one thing that we've learned from doing Fightlinker and the Good Atheist, that there's pretty much nothing that you can be interested in this life that isn't now big enough as just a general worldwide industry for you to hook onto the back as a fucking parasite and live off of.
Is that what we are?
No, I'm just saying. If you want to know, like, there's a whole bunch of fucking big ass sharks out there, and you can be that little fish that trails along that cleans its underbelly and keeps it clear of moss, and that can be your fucking role, and you can live planet atheism or planet ultimate fighting or whatever interest that you're in, there are ways to break in.
Yeah, but it's the same with everything. I mean, imagine you wanted to go into politics. You got to do kind of the same thing. You got to volunteer at the, during elections. You do all the fucking bullshit work to kind of be somebody in that scene. You got to pay your dues. Like every fucking scene, you got to pay your dues. But there, out there, there is a ton of shit jobs, but only take the shit ones that of things that you care about, fools.
Yeah, I very easily could have ended up still working for an Interac terminal company, one of those little ATM machines. It's like, what kind of life at the age of 55? I would have been like, great. Oops.
You would be a product.
There's nothing wrong with it, but at the same time, I would have realized that I did it just because it was there and I fell into it. I'm like, Anyway,
that's a pretty good story about how we got started, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I just do want to touch a little bit. I want to go back to that whole singularity of thought and that we offer a singularity of thought. I just wanted to say religion as well offers its own singularity of thought. That's kind of this competition.
Yeah, well, there's the whole thing you were saying when with regards to music that you enjoy, saying like, oh, this, requiems that I enjoy talking about the soul. I mean, obviously they move me too. They would move anybody. They're interesting. Like, we understand the context of these ideas. What does the soul mean? And for us, it's our essence. It's kind of like, the essence of ourselves, or maybe the essence of us as a species, our soul, our nature. Mm-hmm. And these still, like a song about our souls are still songs about us, about our nature. And we rage against the death like everyone else does, and it's very upsetting, but it's still always very moving. I just don't pretend to think that there's a sweet magic paradise at the end of that fucking road. That's the real difference. We're not, as an atheist, we're not making any fucking claims here.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, CL asks, there's atheists, there's skeptics, there's agnostics, and there's humanists. What's the difference?
Okay, well, here's the thing. Humanism is just, it's a general kind of philosophy. You can be religious and still be a humanist. You don't actually have, that's why there's secular humanists, A humanist is just somebody who believes that human beings are awesome, kind of a thing. That you want to make sure that no person suffers, that, like that's a huge thing. The elimination of suffering and the elimination of like all the plights of mankind. So it's kind of like believing in humans.
Man, why has this thought not being given a big push? Even in just the bullshit big push way where, how people got into Kabbalah and they were all full of shit?
I think it's because the humanist movement has largely been a secular movement. That's the reason. So I think the whole idea, particularly for religious people too, they actually don't like humanism because it puts the focus on humans, when religious people want the focus to be put entirely on God. Mm-hmm. That we are unworthy, actually. The only focus, say, that Christians believe is on the fact that we are sinful by nature and unredeemable.
And we deserve
only
what
through
we get.
Only through the sacrifice of Christ are you redeemed. That's what they're telling you. They're telling you you're a piece of shit. So redeem yourself through Christ, because otherwise you're just still a piece of shit. So why would you care? Of course, they can turn that around and say, well, we want to save everybody, and that's us being good guys. But they still generally view human beings as those sinful and fallen in the eyes of God.
Yeah, and without the touch of Jesus Christ, you are an incomplete being. And you...
Yeah, does that sound like a very fun thing for you, the fact that you're an incomplete being? Oh, thank you very much. I'm incomplete. But I think that's kind of like, that's the differentiation that's the reason I think most religions don't want to associate themselves with humanism. There is no real reason for them to anyways. And besides, there are huge disadvantages to be a humanist, because if you're a humanist, you're not going to kill, you're not going to beat, you're not going to torture other human beings. That's not the policy of most people on this earth. Okay? Most people are not humanists. That's the sad truth. Okay, so agnostics, obviously, for those of you that know, an agnostic is just someone who hasn't taken a particular position on the existence or non-existence of God. So essentially a fence sitter. And you can joke, you can just say that everybody's agnostic to some degree or another. And I'm like, that's a cop-out. If you consider yourself an agnostic, it's because you're sitting on the fucking fence. You're like, well, there's compelling arguments both ways. I'm like, no, there isn't. There really isn't. Let's sit down and talk about those compelling arguments. I want to talk to all agnostics. Sit their ass down, have a real fucking conversation.
I think the big problem with agnostics is they say that they're an agnostic because they can't rule out the possibility that maybe there's some kind of entity. Some kind. Not even a biblical entity or whatever like that. Just some kind. And they say, well, that's good enough to make me an agnostic. I'm like, you got to understand that you being an agnostic is basically giving credence to this whole religious system that has nothing to do with what you think the concept of maybe there being an entity is. It's just we're not apples and oranges is what it is. It's, as far as the battle that's going on between religion and atheism rolls out, you're on our side, fuckers. So stop thinking that you are a fence-sitter, because the truth of the matter is you're just copping out.
Yeah, you are copping out.
Because it's not fence sitters. They have made their decision. They know where they stand. On a practical day-to-day basis, they know that Jesus doesn't give a fuck about stem cells and Jesus doesn't care about abortions, but they're still going to label themselves agnostics because they don't want to fucking say religion is dumb. And I can understand. I wouldn't want to say it either. And without a lot of research, because this is the difference between, if you want me to cover this one, skeptics and atheists, is you could be an atheist and you could be a fucking idiot. And I'm sure there's skeptics who are idiots as well, but at least skeptics are skeptical about everything. About
there's a process. Skepticism is
the information that gets into their brain, they are always skeptical about, and that's what a good skeptic is all about. While atheists, I mean, I know lots of people are like, God doesn't exist. And, you know, all those things that people, like religious people, always making fun of atheists and stuff like that. I'm sure they've met a bunch of atheists whose faith in atheism, and that's what it was, is just as flimsy and baseless as anything that we levy against religious people.
Well, that's the entire reason I even fucking started this site, because there are still lots of people, and these are people who listen to our shows or go to the site, that don't want to plug in that deeply into sort of like the atheist world, but you still have to be aware of what the hell's going on, you know? Like, just, I just thought, I'm going to find the most interesting news and we're going to talk about it and I'm going to write about it. Make the stuff aware for make people who are just kind of the casual atheist, you know? Like, that's what we appeal to. The fucking casual one who's also very frustrated with God. If you're the hardcore guys that sort of like, we love our shows to be on specifically researched topics, I'm like, then go somewhere else. We're edutainment, all right, people? We're just a place where fucking godless people can sit fuck down and have a real conversation about God. So that's what we do. That's okay. Our market.
CL also asks, why is there such a divide between atheists and agnostics over Bill Maher? Apparently he doesn't believe in Western medicine. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this for the past couple of days here about Bill Maher, because you know, he's being given a Richard Dawkins Award for his, he set up an award in his name, I guess. Anyways, it's to anybody that does any significant contribution to atheism gets recognized, and Bill Maher did Religulous, so they want to give him an award, and he deserves it for Religulous. Now, with that said, Bill Maher and you are not going to agree on everything. Okay, Bill Maher is a funny man, but Bill Maher is stupid about certain things, and that includes medicine. In particular, he seems to be downright gullible about medicine, thinking that there's some kind of like pharmaceutical conspiracy, that you know, it's all bullshit, and the process is just marred in complete greed. Like, he has no faith in the scientific process when it comes to medicine.
Well, he thinks medicine is corrupt and it's just lining the pockets of
And you know, from a political side, you know, to a degree, I agree with Bill Maher that there is a serious problem in that collusion, but that doesn't mean that the drugs are ineffective. Certainly doesn't mean that homeopathy works. It certainly doesn't mean that you know, chiropractic works. It's just. And he's also a huge supporter of PETA. He's on their board of directors, and mm-hmm. And PETA is not an organization that is very critically minded. You know, they're a scary organization themselves.
Yeah, PETA to me always seemed like a wild, thrashing, irresponsible organization.
They really are.
I dig their core message, and I think to a certain degree that's why they're so big, but a lot of their methods and tactics and stuff like that, and just a lot of the fights that they try and fight, it's a PR fight, and it's not actually even the real battle.
I think the problem really is that PETA is in many regards a very fundamentalist organization. You know, they believe that no one should even have pets, that all animals should be freed. And I'm like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, what, do they think that all of these dogs and cats that are our pets will just wander the world free? No, they'll just be dead.
It would be worse than dead.
That would be the end.
Here's the thing. If you want to treat animals ethically, you need to save them from fucking Mother Nature, okay? That's the honest truth. Mother Nature is a bitch. That's why we take animals to vets, you know? Because Mother Nature is trying to fucking kill them, and we want to save our pets. Now, are the pets benefiting from that relationship? Yes. Yes. Any life that has at least some degree created an association with us is benefiting. Now, sometimes that's a bad thing, like flies are benefiting, and then we hate flies. But you can imagine that it has all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of externalities because of those types of relationships. But you can't just, we have created dependent relationships with many different types of animals, you know, all of the domesticated breeds, essentially. And now we either take care of them or we let them die off until they become extinct. Now, we got two choices. But I say we can treat them more ethically by developing symbiotic relationships. Like, we have a symbiotic relationship with dogs. We don't just use them for companionship. We use them for work, you know? We use them as seeing-eye dogs. We use them for help in protecting our homes. There's lots of uses to a dog. And everybody wins from that relationship. Everybody. It's a good thing. So fuck off, PETA. Fuck off. Like, honestly, all pets free. You're living in a crazy world. So that's what Bill Maher's into. So Bill Maher's his own man. You just got to deal with the fact that he is not somebody to be 100% emulated.
Yeah, and that goes for pretty much everybody else. I mean, I know that I've got some fucking crazy ideas. I know you've had, and I'm pretty sure you still do have, quite a few crazy ideas. We all have those things. None of us knows everything. And hopefully, as we learn more, we make the right decisions and we pick the right sides. But it's not always that fucking easy. It's not. The world is a very confusing place.
Here's the deal. If I ever talk to Bill Maher, I'm going to talk to him about that. That's a fucking promise. I want to talk to him about his beliefs in medicine, because that's got to be addressed. And he has his views. So if he wants to challenge those views, I'd be more than fucking happy to do that with him.
Man, you'd have to be ready. He's a sharp fucking tack. Okay, moving on to Aaron. Asks, you get to go to cocktails with two famous atheists, one living and one dead. Who do you pick?
Well, the living one would have to be Christopher Hitchens. I just listen to that man talk all night. Just about fascinating things. He's a great storyteller. You know, that's why his book is good. Like, just read his book because it's good.
I pick James Randi because he seems like the most pleasant of the atheist gang. He really does.
It's true. He's like the grandfather of atheists.
And you know he'd be doing fucking magic tricks at dinner and telling you stories about being on Carson. It's like picking Hitchens. Hitchens is a fucking sloppy drunk. What are you talking about? He's a mean motherfucker. And God knows, you know there's going to be somebody at this cocktail soiree that's going to fucking get up in his grill and he's going to have to smack a bitch. And it's just, it's not going to be all that pleasant.
I think it might be hilarious.
But
if I got drunk with Hitchens and we just fucking went on a tear, you know, maybe it depends on the situation. Sort of like me and Hitchens just getting drunk and going fucking causing some ruckus. Now, dead atheist, I would actually, here's the deal. I would talk to a dead deist that I think I could talk into atheism. And that would be Thomas Paine. I would love to fucking talk to Thomas Paine because there was a sharp mind, man. There was a sharp mind. Let me give you a little story about Tom Paine where you can appreciate just how sharp this guy was. He's in jail. It's the French Revolution, and Tom Paine gets invited over to France because at that time, before the Revolution, the French are like, oh, Americain, we want to copy you, so come over here and you shall help us. And he starts helping, and then all of a sudden the group that he's helping, they all get arrested and they start getting murdered. So he's locked up in a cell. And facing possible
death,
you know, guillotine. So while he's there, he decides that he's going to write a book. And that book is The Age of Reason. Now, in The Age of Reason, it's basically an attack on Christianity. So he's quoting the Bible and all this other kind of stuff and attacking it. But here's the deal. He didn't have a Bible in his cell. He had memorized most of the Bible. And he just launched his attack on this thing in the remaining days, possibly, of his life. I'm like, what a fucking cool dude. Now, side note to that, the only reason that he lived is because his door was open because he was suffering from a terrible flu or cold. And there was one of the guys, the barrister or whatever they fucking call them, and he was supposed to mark...
The jailer?
The guy who's basically going to be the one taking you to your execution, though. So what are they called?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Anyways, so the guy's walking over and he's putting crosses on all the doors, like in chalk, of the people that are going to be executed. But he forgets to do Tom Paine's because the door is open. He thus escape execution and then gets freed the next fucking day.
Praise Jesus. Is that why he changed his mind afterwards on The Age of Reason?
No. The Age of Reason is attack on Christianity, but
he's
a deist.
He
believes in sort of he's kind of like Spinoza, right? He believes God is... God of nature and so on and so forth. The interesting thing about Tom Paine is he accused Christians of being atheists, actually, because he said that they had transformed God into man, and that was blasphemy.
I kind of dig it.
I really dig it. That's
I
kind
of dig it. I love it with the Catholics, with all of the saints and the idols. And
well, here's the
like
thing,
that.
You guys, if you haven't read this, go over to GutenbergProject.org, download the book. It's free. Download Tom Paine's Age of Reason. It's awesome. It is just as valid an attack now as it was then. All right, it hasn't changed. It's still the same Bible. Now, with that said, there's a couple of he doesn't always quote the right thing. Sometimes he was doing it from memory, and it was probably pretty stressful. But it is a fucking awesome book. So that's who I dined with.
How is it written? Is it written in kind of a decent style, or is it like
it's totally readable? Totally readable. It's not. Overly complicated prose. Beside, the one on Project Gutenberg has a nice little intro that explains everything, gives you the context, and gives you pretty much all the story that I just told you. So I guess you don't have to read the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know.
Okay, rolling on. Late into the evening. This is the second part of the question that Aaron was asking. Late in the evening. Oh wait, I didn't get to say who I would.
You said James Randi. What was
alive? Carl Sagan.
Oh, man, you're beating me here.
I really am.
You're kicking my ass.
I really am.
Carl Sagan, yes, because, oh, my God.
Because we could be doing more than drinking cocktails with Carl Sagan. And I think that would be wild.
Could you imagine being able to get high with Carl Sagan and him just taking you on a journey? A Carl Sagan fucking journey through the universe?
Through the cosmos.
You're fucking high with Carl Sagan?
This is what I imagine how he got his TV show. Is back in the day, some 70s TV executive was like, dude, you gotta hear Carl Sagan talk about the cosmos. And then they were like, wait a second.
Well,
Let's give him a show called Cosmos.
Cosmos is usually best watch when you are high, because he makes sense when you listen to him when you're high. He speaks at the right kind of speed. And besides, the entire time it's kind of silly, because he's just talking about fantasizing being on this spaceship and exploring the universe, and he's got this goofy look on his face the whole time with red lights and crazy music going whoosh, whoosh. Like the best that they could do in the 70s, which was still pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it was very Jean-Michel Jarre, Oxygen.
Synthesizer.
Yep.
Anyways.
But yeah, I would definitely choose him just because I am intrigued by the galaxy and the universe and by astrology, but I need a fucking good teacher to open my eyes and make me understand and see. Like, every so often you get one of those teachers. Back in high school, mine was my geography teacher, and I don't give a fuck about geography, but the way this teacher taught it, I was like Mr. Fucking Geography under this guy. He was a guru, and I was his fucking Padawan, and he educated me, and a night with Carl Sagan, I think, could really turn me on to the universe and really give me that sense of wonder that I would need to keep rolling with it.
What a shame that he's...
Very dead.
He's very dead. And then that's it. Yep. That's it. There's no go back.
Okay, so Aaron asks, late into the evening, we get into a heated discussion that leads into a fist fight. What sparks it, and who wins the fist fight? See, I think this is why I don't want Hitchens involved, because Hitchens seems like the kind of guy who'd take a... He's why they have those UK laws where they want to change the glass from real glass to tempered plastic, to safety plastic, because he seems like the kind of person to just be like, all right, I've had it with you, time for the glass in your face.
I don't think so, man. I think that he would just... He's like the Hannibal Lecter of fucking atheism. Okay, he'd just make you cry.
Well, let me ask you this. Out of all of those guys there, whether or not they're married or not, which one is most likely to hit his wife?
Hitchens.
Just saying.
I say it's always the one you think the most. I say Dennett.
What are you saying? James Randi?
He could make the bruises disappear. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's who's having a fist fight here? Okay, What's this example? I'm having a fist fight with that person?
Well, basically with the people that we're having cocktails with. We get into a heated discussion. Well, I could see why you and Payne might get in each other's face.
Get the blows?
Yeah. And Payne would probably beat you so long as he's not on his deathbed.
Man, back then, fucking the old school guys are so tough. You had to be tough to live back then.
I know. How soft are we? How soft is our society?
Very soft.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's not a bad thing. I think that we should not have a super hard life. I mean, it doesn't make you necessarily a better character. It might make you kind of shitty. There are lots of people that have hard lives that turn out into really hard people that you might not want to know.
Okay. Scott asks, what theist arguments do you personally find the most compelling? My favorite is, you can't have something from nothing, so what made something from nothing? And that's not so much a theist argument, but that's just the biggest I don't know. And therefore, that gives them the most wiggle room.
Yeah, but that always seemed to me an improper conclusion of saying, well, there can't be nothing from...
Something from nothing.
Something from nothing. Here's this God that's came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know exactly.
That's so it's not it doesn't have a compelling.
That's the immediate
right
flaw, but at the same time, the logic behind it is basically you can't. Let's see your science.
But
explain
I mean, big
this.
Deal. You have to deal with the fact that the universe may be a paradox. Fucking deal with it, man.
That's a pretty big paradox, man. We were talking about how paradoxes.
Dude, there are
can
huge
really...
paradoxes, and maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe
yeah, but
the
but
answers
are...
to the universe are really paradoxical, and we have to kind of accept the fact that. Not everything makes logical sense, you know. Even math, even that, the paragon of logic.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prove a 1 + 1 = 2. Mathematically, you can't prove it. And you're just like, fuck. But it's still true. It's still goddamn true. It's just that's the paradox of everything is that you can't really prove anything at all. But they're still true.
Mm.
They're just very fucking true, but you can't prove them. So you just have to deal with the fact that you can't prove it. If I'm going to go back to the sort of like, what is the argument that I find most compelling? I got to be honest with you, man. None of them are compelling. Not one. Not a one. It's all like either God in the gaps, as in we don't know the answers to this fucking question, therefore God, or it's this other fucking bullshit where they're even getting more specific. Said 2,000 years ago, some fucking Jewish dude told you how to live your life and you got to follow him. Like, get out of here. Compelling, zero.
Well, what about that compelling one where they're just, oh, I just feel it in my soul, it is my heart, and the power of God is under the lippity lights and all that? Don't you find that one a little bit hard? That whole, like, God is in my heart and...
We all love people that may not even be around anymore. Do you know anyone that's not alive that you still love?
Not really, because nobody I know is really
okay,
died
but
yet.
Fine, but... at least most of the listeners will know what I'm talking about. It's still possible for you to have a relationship with someone that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because those feelings don't go away. They'll go away when you go away, when you're a big giant pile of dead. But until then, you know, you still have a relationship with them. It's just not reciprocal. So with God, I see it the same way. A person can, you know, there was a video that we put up on the site. This guy fucking crying his eyes out, saying like, I feel the Holy Spirit is so real. I just want to tell everybody about him, how much love he's full of. I'm like, you are feeling loved by no one and trying to boast to everybody about this. I'm like, pop out of your delusion for 5 seconds and realize that those feeling you are capable of those feelings. You're just not giving those feelings to anybody. So,
let's look at it like this: have you ever had a relationship where you fell in love with the idea of a person and not the person themselves, and then afterwards you're like, "Holy shit, that person was not who I thought they were. I made this imaginary thing up about them. I was basically feeling love for something that didn't even really exist."
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can definitely think of a good example of that. Everybody's got that one where they were just making that shit up in their heads. They just wanted it to be so true. So of course it was true. And then all of a sudden it comes crashing down.
Okay. Luke B. asks, what do you think about Christmas? I think we kind of answered that one, but let's see. Yeah. What kind of things do you get from the holiday as an atheist? I ask because I heard about this book, The Atheist Guide to Christmas by Arian Sharing, and I might pick up a copy this weekend. Now, actually, I wanted to mention that book because at first I was kind of like, eh, hokey, who gives a shit about this atheist book to Christmas? But this this Arian Sharing chick, she was the book is called There Is No God, The Atheist Guide to Christmas. And the reason it's called that is because this is the chick that
looks like the same there's probably font
yeah
for
there's
no
probably
God.
No God. She's the one that put up the money and got the idea and raised the money in the UK to start that. So this is her weird dual book. There's probably no God, so you should relax. And then here's a whole bunch of tales written by atheist writers about Christmas. And that actually sounds pretty cool. It's basically something, I think it was like 48. It was, 42 atheist celebrities, comedians, scientists, and writers give their funny and serious tips for enjoying Christmas.
Okay, that's on my month.
I know. That's
to read list. Hello.
So that sounds great. So,
yeah,
I feel like we've already talked about Christmas, but thank you very much.
Thank you for mentioning that. You know what that reminds me? All of you guys who've read books that you think that we should be made aware of. One of the things that I want to start is I want to create a page where I can basically give book reviews and talk about books for people. Because here's the crazy thing. I mean, we had a fan that met up with us when we were doing the PodCamp thing, and the first things that he was asking me was like, "Can you recommend any books, Jake?" And that's the same thing that I had asked Daniel Dennett when I met him. I'm like, "Can you recommend any books?"
Yep.
We should just have a resource, and Good Atheist should be a resource for people to be able to find what the good books are, what our reviews of them are. You know, mm-hmm. Like if we do podcasts on them, we'll link the podcast that we talk about those books to, and we'll put our little write up, just a nice little fucking place, so that you can know more about these books because that book sounds really interesting.
Yep, agreed.
And I'm gonna read it.
Okay, and Luke's other question, what do you think about skeptical conferences like TAM and TAM London? Do you think social events for atheists and similar groups is a good or bad thing? If there was a Canadian atheist camp, would you consider attending? And how about if you were invited as a guest?
Man, fucking the honor of being invited as a guest, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and you don't even need to invite me as a guest. I'll just go. We've been talking about 100%. We're going to I think it's called Dragon Con, or there's a gigantic con in Atlanta that we're going to next September. For 100% sure. Regardless,
yeah, we only
of
heard
else.
About it after the fucking thing was over.
Yeah, literally a couple days after it happened, one of the guys who was there, just still with the massive afterglow of an orgy of atheism, was like, "You've got to come to this." And I'm like, "We do have to come to this."
And it's not even just that the fact that it's all about atheism; it's also about all the other stuff that we fucking love.
Yeah,
well.
No, we're total geeks, and
of course we're nerds.
Yep.
Nerds will inherit the future, fools.
And it's like, guess what? Intelligent people with lots of diverse interests. Is it fun to hang out with these kinds of people? Yes.
Do you want to go hang out with a bunch of smart people that are fun?
And it's like, heaven forbid you meet a chick there that's smart and interested in interesting things. Oh my God, that would be terrible.
Yeah, don't do that.
Let's not go there.
You better keep dating those religious chicks and keep fighting.
The ones that believe in astrology.
And maybe you can turn them, maybe.
Maybe.
But you probably
won't. Yeah, you better hope nothing like, I don't know, the death of a pet or a parent doesn't push them over into fucking losing your girlfriend to Jesus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think I would actually love to hear some stories of any of the readers if they've lost a significant other to Jesus. That would be an interesting. I'd love to hear that. But, yeah, no, absolutely. We would definitely go to any of these. I think they're a great idea. I know you do, too, because when you were thinking of Unchurch and its practical realism, you were kind of imagining it as a...
As kind of like one of those traveling atheist shows.
A nice social network for atheist people to come and hang out and chill, and you are not alone.
You are not alone. Well, you called me crazy for wanting to start up sort of atheist groups. You're like, it's like hurting
cats.
Yeah,
but you know, you got to understand, the suggestion was a couple years ago when you weren't shit.
No, but I didn't mean from me anyways. Just nobody believed me that was what was going to happen.
No,
I'm like, this is going to happen.
I believe that people were going to get together and do some stuff. But as far as like your blueprint and your idea, at the time it was crazy. Even now it would be still very hard for us to do. But I feel like in a couple of years, okay, number one, we'll start going to these things and checking them out. And then number two, maybe we'll look into doing one in fucking Montreal. Because why the fuck not?
Well, here's what I was thinking that we would really do. We would probably work on some material and do a show. We would do a show. We would do like an atheist comedy show. And I think it'd be a huge hit.
I think it'd be fun. Okay, moving on. Zach S. I couldn't find your email anywhere, so I'll just post right here. Considering the atheist agnostic, a.k.a. the knowns demographic. Is that to pronounce that right?
I don't know.
The nuns. Atheist agnostic. Oh, the nuns. The nuns demographic is growing exponentially larger with each new census. And there was one brave representative that officially declared his atheism back in 2007. How do you think the oath of office will, if at all, change and or be administered years later the later years of the early 21st century? Also, what do you think of the chances of an atheist congressman or, dare I say it, president will grow larger within the next 15 to 20 years?
You know what? I actually think that that's going to go the complete opposite way of what the census information and what, like, there's going to be a big battle, I think, in the government for stuff like these pledges and whatever, because it might go, you know, it might start, if it starts pulling towards the atheists, more secular side, the conservative right, the religious right, they're really crazy and they will do whatever the fuck they can. And they're very well organized. They're far better organized than any other group right now. Mm-hmm. And they get to do what they want, really, largely. How it's possible that a person who is an atheist or agnostic still cannot be voted in to a country that basically really invented the separation of church and state is just, it's beyond me. I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. Whatever. Historical accident. You guys had to do it first.
Yeah, it was just a wonderful fucking accident that America just had that separation of church and state. What a great idea, and boy, has that really worked out well for America.
You know what, in truth be told, in politics at the beginning, it didn't really matter anyways. I remember reading that Jefferson's opponent was trying to call him basically an atheist, and Jefferson's response was to say that to dare to include religion in politics, to try to besmirch someone's policies, was unquestionable.
I know, isn't it hilarious how that wouldn't fly? You know, that answer wouldn't fly anymore, and it's just goes to show you they had it right back then, at least on that aspect.
Yeah, they were a little bit better organized politically, I think.
Well, they just saw what happens when you have the kind of endless bullshit that we have now. It's just, back in the day, it just resulted in death really quickly. So
shot, man.
Exactly.
They just shot you.
So, and he also says, I've been searching for how Representative Stark's oath of office was administered after his reelection in 2008. I guess that's the atheist guy. But I can't seem to find any information upon it. I'm particularly interested in this question due to my hopes to become a politician later in life. My thoughts are that... On the higher level, like there are glass ceilings is basically how it works for how far you're going to be able to get as an atheist over the next. I'd say the glass ceiling, I think we all know where it stands right now and where it'll stand for the next 5 to 10 years, which is basically once you're trying to run for like a head of state type position, then you're not going to win if you're an atheist. But after 10 years, I mean, we can't fucking say. If you asked someone a couple years ago if they thought there'd be a black president, they would be like, ha, no way.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I was actually thinking about Barack Obama, and I think that he just got in too early. Because I don't think America was ready. Look at the reaction over there. It's embarrassing. This is the racist shit that
I don't know.
They're not doing anything.
Yeah, but until they end up killing him, and God, I hope they don't. But until they do, they haven't gotten in the way of him being able to accomplish, you know, a decent amount of stuff. All of that other policy shit would still be
I'm just saying that he was charismatic enough that he kind of
bridged the gap.
Let's just say that he just kind of vaulted towards the finish line. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, boom, what happened? He pulled a Usain Bolt where all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, he didn't just blow away the record. He was doing it laughing.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of that's where Barack Obama is. So we can't use that as an example of saying, well, look how far we progressed. This is a unique case.
I know, but I'm just saying we don't know.
Al Sharpton would have never won.
look a couple of years from now, there could be a crazy fucking reaction. We don't live in a bubble. Things don't just stay the same. In a couple of years, something really ugly could fucking go down. I mean, the Republican Party is going more and more right-wing fundamentalist, and it's making a lot of people uncomfortable. That entire party could disintegrate, and it could change the way that politics works in America. They could be replaced by something else. So you don't know what's going to be happening in 10 years. And personally, to me, I think it will matter a lot less because, truth be told, there's going to be a lot of younger people who really don't give a shit.
In 10 years, the big issues aren't going to be religion.
It's going to be shit will have hit the fan so hard that we aren't going to be worrying about whether or not someone is praying to God or has God on the money. It's going to be a whole, like, we are all dying and things need to be fixed. So I don't know if that's a positive or a negative thing.
Just, you know what, just work on being very skilled. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way to go.
Okay, Peter asks, where do you think Christianity or the three major Abrahamic religions will be far in the future, say 5,000 years from now? Will Jesus, Muhammad, and Moses be placed in the same category as Ra, Zeus, or Athena? It almost seems inconceivable. Now, before we answer this, let's say, let's not lock in that 5,000 years. Let's kind of go through... Give me a couple of, like, in the future, in the year 3000.
If I was going to use historical precedents, I would say that Christianity's probably got another 300 or 400 years.
Really? That's pretty fucking generous.
That is being generous, but here the way that I see it basically is that I look at it the same way you look at Zoroastrianism. Okay. Zoroastrianism before, like, this is predates Christianity. It was the big religion. Mm-hmm. Persians were Zoroastrian, so they were the main empire back then, and the main god, Mazda, was a big deal. You know, it's like you wouldn't use Mazda's name in vain, and now you drive a car with that fucking name.
And
so,
you say this piece of shit Mazda.
So, you know what? You might be driving a, you know, a
Jesus.
A 2434 Jesus Outback. You know? You don't know.
Okay, I could see it hanging around that much in 300 years, but I'm just saying, like, 300 years ago, look at where we were. Look at how much we've progressed just in the last 50 to 100 years. You don't even want to try and imagine what things are going to be like. You know how we were so crazy optimistic back in the 60s about what the future was going to be like? I think that now we're way too lame with our scientific ideas for what it's going to be like. The truth is going to be
jaded.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to make that same...
We don't want to say flying cars anymore, but it's funny. We do have flying cars. They exist. They're just not marketable. But flying cars exist.
Yeah, but that's the whole idea, is if you don't get it right, if you miss the mark so much where it's just like you thought that would work and then it wouldn't, everybody feels silly.
But that's not the point. The point that I'm trying to make with a flying car is that a person could say, look at the future. They called it completely wrong. It's not that they called it wrong. It's just that they had a concept of what 1960 would look like in 2000. And if we had just tried to make that happen, it would have looked like that. But it would be in the 1960s. Mm. It wouldn't have made any sense to live like that. You can't import that life style, you know, and there's just different things become priorities. I mean, like, in 1960, would anybody guess that there'd be something called the internet that would be around? And, like, and what form will the internet take? Like, I don't even know yet. The internet is like a gigantic experiment in mass communication. And this is also why I fucking love it. Why I am the biggest fan of the internet is because I believe in that experimentation of that you connect every human being to every other human being. Like, if you just had that theoretical possibility to talk to anybody on the planet because we were all on the internet, why would we even ever fight ever again as just sort of individual countries? You know, like, we are ultimately in a place where we can be held accountable to everybody else. You know, where you can just say, stop it, something's happening here. Where we can call to attention the plights of other people, and we communicate directly with them on a real-time basis. Like, that changes everything. So the communication revolution, to me, will completely and utterly change the way that our society fucking functions. And I don't even know how that's going to fucking form.
Just wait until they take our brains out and put them in tubes and hook us into the Matrix, and then you'll see a whole new world. And that's probably 100 years from now. That's it. 100 years.
100 years till we're hooked up with tubes?
Until we're living in
tubes?
The Matrix.
Man, yeah. That sounds like...
It's like once your body's done, you go to the Matrix, and that's what's next. I mean, why the fuck not? What, you don't think they can keep your brain nice and fucking crunchy?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to call it. Is that the is that all the questions?
Actually, now we're just getting into the second part.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, we didn't have another bonus though last time, so I guess we're going to have a longer one. Let's keep rolling.
Let's keep rocking this out. Okay, Scott asks, now this is a bit of a repeat, but I just wanted to touch on it one more time. What do you do when asked to participate in something religious from the minor grace or someone says God bless to the major, e.g. Christmas Mass? It seems like a question that everybody is asking a lot because people are kind of wondering what the proper atheistic response should be. And the way I look at it is like this. If you went on a what are those things where you go to Africa and you go into the like not a savanna, it's a, what's it called when you actually go on a trip out through the African outback?
There's
a specific name for it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tip of my tongue. Anyways, you go out there and you go and you visit a tribe and they have this big religious ceremony.
A safari.
There you go. You go on safari. And you go and you visit a tribe and they have this religious ceremony, which is basically everybody just getting together and having a great time. What do you do? Well, you go in there, you go in there and you participate and you play along just because it doesn't matter if you don't fucking believe. It's not like you're being, I can see definitely how it's different when it's a passive aggressive attempt to, for somebody else to force their beliefs on you. But so long as you take it from the same point of view of hang out with these ignorant people and do their fucking stupid ceremony and I'll have a hoot.
Well, you know, here's the essential problem. I think the reason is because for the most part, most Christian and specifically Catholic rituals are so fucking boring.
Yo.
You know, you go on a safari, you're going to take part in some rituals, I guarantee you they're going to be good times. Mm-hmm. You know, it's even why if you're going to go and have to do some kind of Christmas mass, like do it in one of those like churches where they have choirs singing like awesome songs rather than just the depressing ones. Like, I don't know where you'd find these places, but I'm sure they're out there. Just there are some entertaining versions of Christianity. I mean, like if they had some entertaining shows, I might go see the show.
Well, let's go through some of the religious fucking things that I would love to do. I would love if a couple dozen people didn't die every year doing it, I'd love to go and hang out at that gigantic piece of space rock that
the dome on the rock.
Yeah, and I also I would love to go to a Jewish wedding. And I think that's pretty much everything off the top of my head. But I know there's some other pretty cool ceremonies out there that will be fun to do.
What about that tomato one there in Spain?
Is that a religious thing, though? I don't think so.
No, I guess not. No. Maybe. Probably. They all start like that.
Anyways, we can roll on, put some more thought to that, and maybe do a post about it, because that'd be kind of neat. All the religious things that would just still be fun to do. Okay, Mac asks, what exactly is in it for me to try and convince these people that what I believe is true? Sometimes I become an apathist and just stop caring to try. What is in it for me to fight against these brick walls?
So I'm assuming that he's just talking to people that...
Religious people. Why should I talk
to these people?
What is in it for me to fight the good atheistic fight? And I think a lot of people ask that question. A lot of people, you know, number one, you have that whole thing where you feel like you're being a dick when you fight the good fight. What is in it?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you why you got to do it first, and then I'm going to tell you what's in it. You got to do it first because somebody's got to do it. All right. You ever find yourself in a situation where somebody had to do something and that person was you? Yeah, that happens because what do most people like to do? Nothing. They just fucking sit back and they're complacent and shit. I mean, look at Germany as a perfect example of that, right? Nazis coming to power, and it's not that because every fucking German was a Nazi. Maybe 20% of them were. The rest were just apathetic sheep that didn't say shit. And the ones that did, well, they got fucking killed when the movement got too big. And it's just one of those things where you can't let movements get too big. You know, religious movements, they're a little big, all right? They're a little bit huge, and for some weird reason, they don't like accepting criticism, and that's a pretty fucking dangerous thing of any idea, don't you think? An idea that does not accept criticism, and when you just criticize it, they're like, hey, that's my belief, you're not allowed. What the fuck, man? Not allowed to criticize my ideas. We're all allowed to criticize each other's ideas. That is your fucking right.
That's called reality.
Yeah, that's the reality. Somebody's going to say, I don't like your idea. Now, that doesn't mean you have to listen to them. You don't have to. But they're allowed to criticize your fucking ideas. You know, and here's an interesting side note. Remember that whole anti-blasphemy law that we were trying to pass in UN and it got killed?
Yeah.
They're trying to bring it back.
Oh yeah, that's how they do it. It gets voted down, and they try and do it again, just like France with the copyright laws and a whole bunch of. If you want to take a look at well, what was it with the anti-gay marriage thing? That was the second time they were doing that, right? Second kick at the
that's
can.
That's right. That was the second kick at the can.
That's how it rolls. These people they get told no, and then just they'll bide their time and try it again.
So I mean that's another answer to your question. I mean, even when you think that you're done talking about that kind of stuff, you're not done. Now. You know, I think sometimes people get frustrated because you'll talk to someone and it feels at the end of the conversation that nothing got fucking done or said, you know? You ever get to that point where you're just talking to someone and you're like, fuck, I did not change their mind. Why did I even bother? Well, remember that when you're just having a conversation with someone, it takes time for people to absorb ideas. It doesn't happen in fucking, you know, immediately. And a person is not going to just suddenly stop themselves midway through a debate or an argument and say, you're right. I mean, that's not what people do.
Not what most people do. I'm actually capable of that, but I know you are not.
Shut your mouth. But my point is, when you're having a conversation with a person, you might be frustrated. You might be frustrated from your approach. And all that means is that maybe you need to change your approach. I always found that one of the things that works well is when you're talking to someone and you restate their assumptions first. You know, like you go through and you get them to try to tell you what their assumptions are, and then you know you can just for very little work, it's easy to just throw doubt on any of these assertions because they're not made out with any real evidence. They're just if the person has to constantly rely on the same thing for evidence, then even they themselves are going to begin to see kind of the cracks. Like they can take two positions. One is they can continue to ignore everybody and focus even more on the Bible despite its very contradictions or whatever other religious manual, or they will begin to see the fucking cracks. And don't you think that that latter option is worth maybe a couple discussions with these people? I mean, don't you think it might be your, you know, like your duty that if you feel that you are enlightened and open-minded to some degree, that it's important to fucking get other people to be, because not everyone gets exposed to the right kind of ideas. You know, they get taught a lot of bullshit. And when you get taught bullshit your entire life, you know, the way that you think is going to be affected. It doesn't mean that we should just stop proselytizing.
Give up on these people.
Yeah, I mean, and they take the same attitude with us. You know, they don't want to give up on us because most of these people are well-meaning and they want to save our souls. Well, we want to save their brains, okay? Because their brains are seriously rotting from this shit. It is causing people to be stupider. It really is. This is the stage that we're getting at right now. As the forces of science and religion are constantly clashing, it's making us dumber, and it's time to go.
Now, for me, I would say that you don't really have to fight the brick walls. I'd say that the best thing that you can do is that both sides are fighting over that gigantic chunk of the middle ground. And what we need to do is you need to try and win over that group. So you don't have to spend all your time preaching to the choir. I feel like the Good Atheist Radio Show, to a good degree, preaches to the choir. But when you go out there into the world and you want to pick your fucking battles, don't go up against the hardcore Christians. Go against the people who are just kind of floating around. And the way that I've always attacked it is, I'll never shit on people's religion or religious beliefs, but when they put their toe over that fucking line of what I believe in this sky god thing means that we can't do stem cell research or it changes what we think about abortion and stuff like that, at that point I'm like, this is where you get the bitch slap. You know what I mean? And this is to the degree I always find the best way, because as I said, most of the agnostic people and even a lot of the religious people that you're going to meet don't believe in the religious god of their religions or the Bible. They believe in whatever chitzy fucking god they've invented in their mind that has nothing to do with actual religion. So long as you kind of say, hey, believe in whatever god that you want to believe in, but recognize the fact that what religion is doing is fucked up and stupid and wrong.
That's a good summary. Let's move on. Next question.
Okay, Richard Feinberg asks, I would like to see some debate with some Christians on the show, but that would mean you would need to do some more research about the subject rather than just winging it. Wasn't so much of a question as a criticism.
Jesus Christ. I assume that people must think that I just don't just sit and just don't do any real research.
I'm well, like, you know what? Here's the problem, actually, and this is what I think the reality of the issue isn't so much as we don't do research if we don't know what we're talking about. It's that a lot of the articles that we use to fill up our shows are pretty flimsy. And the truth of the matter is, trying to find original ideas for what to talk about on an atheist level that you can have a good 30-minute conversation about is pretty fucking hard. So
especially doing it twice a week.
Either you do a whole bunch of more research into it, and you get into the boring ass nitty gritty that no one gives a fuck about anyways, or you do what we do and we bounce around like pinballs talking about the entire thing. I mean, whoa, we've talked, this is like question number 20 on a completely different thing, and you've been talking fucking educated about all sorts of stuff. I say you're pretty well researched. Just not about everything into the nitty gritty.
So unfortunately, no. But we do go on lots of tangents.
What's the opinion on the idea of having some religious people on the show?
Well, here's something cool. We're trying to get more
guests. In a.
Well, you know what? I decided that I was going to start big, so I reached out to PZ Myers of Fringula fame. And he's agreed that he wants to do a show, so you guys get to hear it first. We're going to be doing a show. I don't know if it's next show. I have to call him this weekend, but I think he's traveling. But he's not the first of people that we're going to do. The way I figure it is that I'm going to include that as a segment during the show, but I don't want them to co-host the show because it's too difficult, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to have like a nice interview, so I'll do an interview portion for, you know, certain good atheists and just say, like, I'm going to have a conversation with PZ or I'm going to have a conversation with these people. I want to talk to PZ about Ray Comfort. I want to talk to him about, you know, his blogging experiences and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So these are the kind of questions I want to ask him.
Nice.
We are planning on having on branching out a little bit more and you know, doing more once we change our studio setup, because our studio setup isn't perfectly how we want it. We want it to be able to have actually other guests and it doesn't sound like ass, because I think you guys remember one time we tried the three-way show and that did not go well.
It was the worst. It was just like most threesomes, just relatively uncomfortable and unsatisfying.
It's a lesson for you people.
Don't believe the hype.
Really,
porn
don't.
Is a lie.
Porn is a lie. Porn is a lie.
Okay, so he now asks, Richard Feinberg now asks, my question is, do you think believe in make some people believe do unjust things because a maker tells them, or is, I wasn't actually trying to make that difficult to understand. What does he ask? I'm not sure. I'll just finish reading. Do you believe that people do unjust things because a maker tells them, or just that believing in improvable things is what they do? So I'm sorry, I don't know what that question means. I can't decode that.
I think what he's trying to ask is that if belief in a maker, a supreme being, leads people to sort of like violent behavior, is what I'm gathering from this. It's like, if you believe in a higher power, you know, are you more likely to harm people?
Well, I guess it all depends on what you think that higher power thinks.
I think automatically, I'll be honest with you, I think automatically belief in a higher power as a thing unto itself will make you more likely to harm or kill other human beings, just for this reason alone, that whatever your maker is, there is a possibility that somebody else does not believe in that. And that decision, the decision that you make once you realize that that's true, will have a powerful influence. But that if you didn't have a belief that wasn't shared, it wasn't something that you needed to worry about to begin with. It is a point of contention is what it suddenly becomes, is what I'm saying. So if you believe, I don't believe in higher power, so it's not a point of contention with anybody else. Unless that person starts having a belief in a higher power. And it's not because my belief is argumentative, it's because theirs is. Theirs is combative. It's not just that there is a God, it's that this is what this God is like, and he tells me to do this, and blah, 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 and I'm like, we now have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, the whole issue I have, like, take a look at people who are into Jesus, because you would think, hey, I mean, it shouldn't be a problem to think that there's going to be deities like Jesus that people were going to believe in, that's just going to make them all hippie nice and really crunchy and groovy and nice people. But the truth of the matter is that they really believe in Jesus to the point where if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to fucking hell.
And those are the nice ones. You know, yep. There's plenty of religions that are like, oh, you don't believe in what we believe? Time to put you to death. The Old Testament does not fucking mince words about that. You know, the Quran does not mince word. You are supposed to kill the unbelievers. You know, the only reason that's not really that discussed is just because, you know, you can just explain it away.
You can just
be like, oh, this is just a internal thing. What are you talking about? It says kill unbelievers. I mean, come on now.
Okay, Choco Bar asks, we know of crazy Christians saying wacky shit, but have you encountered any atheists that are clueless, irrational, or crazy even?
Yeah, well, we talked about it before. There's plenty of really ignorant atheists. Well, I wouldn't say they're the majority, but there's just there's still going to be a lot of them because, you know, some people, they don't believe in God for a variety of reasons. Well, maybe their belief is just because they were angry at their religion. That's a fucking reason why somebody might be an atheist.
But look at it like this. I mean, how smart can, say, a 12-year-old kid be who doesn't believe in God? So it's just
actually, it's funny that you asked because a couple of weeks ago I had linked to a 12-year-old girl that had sort of had an interview about her beliefs. Whoo! It was impressive. Let's just say it was impressive. So 12 might still be
well now with the internet. This is the interesting thing. I wonder what I would have been looking at when I was 12 on the internet if the internet was the way it was now. Probably a lot more pornography.
Yeah, but you get tired of that eventually, right?
Well, maybe.
Maybe not.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's just the idea that, you know, being an atheist does not make it doesn't guarantee nothing. It's just
a lack of a belief. That's all it is. So, does a lack of a belief tell you anything about a person? Not really. I mean, the one thing that it tells you, at least now, because religion is sort of like the majority of the world is religious. It's not a high majority, but it is a majority. The majority of the world is religious, so when you don't believe, you are in the minority, which means that there must be something different about you if you don't believe what the majority does. But it doesn't say much, okay?
Yeah, I figure that a lot of atheists tend to get along just because they do use that as a common point, and they do use that as a, you know, a bonding point to a certain degree.
And that's a relatively new thing, new phenomenon. I mean, look at this. I've been trying to start a hot atheist chick calendar, and I've been reaching out to some you know, fans that I believe are really hot, so, you know, I'm like, would you like to be in a calendar? This is a very, I think it's an astute observation. You are hot, would you like to be in a calendar? one of the fans was like, well, I can't because I'm not out of the atheist closet with my friends and stuff like that. So, you know, that's something that's actually I'm sure it'll make the calendar a little bit more difficult than any other types of calendars that you say, because the skeptics have a calendar, but it's, you're skeptical, so what, you know, like, atheist chick calendar, you're making a fucking pretty bold statement there. So it's going to be a little bit hard hunting for that shit, but not everybody's as out of the closet as you think, man.
Yeah. Okay, true. Okay, a brown lamp asks, sometimes when I debate people, and this is the last question, by the way, so let's fucking hit this home before we wrap this show up.
All right, let's do it.
It's an hour and a half show. I think this might be the longest episode in Good Atheist history.
This is the longest day of radio shows that we've ever done.
Yeah, true that, because we just did a two-hour Ultimate Fighting podcast,
too. That's right.
We is on fire.
Fire.
What do you feel, Jake? Do you feel like you figured out how to ride that bike again?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, a brown lamp asks, sometimes when I debate people on message boards about God/evolution, they occasionally respond with something ostensibly intelligent and scientific. Sometimes I look into what they're saying and respond, and sometimes if it's really long-winded, I say, fuck it, I know they're wrong, and I'm not going to spend an hour or so researching what they're talking about. Like the creating new genetic material through mutations arguments. It's silly, and I don't feel like researching something I can argue with common sense. I guess my question is, when presented with the overwhelming evidence of scientific data they can't explain, do you think that most believers say, fuck it, I don't feel like looking into this, I know I'm right, like I do with the mutations argument? Is laziness and intellectual non-curiosity the reason most people still believe in God?
I think that in general, I don't think that we have a very, this is in the States at least, and Canada to pretty much the same degree. We're not a very scientifically literate population, and that's just the honest truth. I mean, when we look at a newspaper publishes a study, what do those study results normally say? Well, nothing to do, they're usually not very related to the original study. There'll be somebody saying like, oh, chocolate cures cancer or some fucking other nonsense. And really, that's not what they found. They had just found that there was a slight decrease and more research was needed. But that's not how we fucking present anything, because that's not an exciting story to an unscientifically literate population. They just want to know, hey, look, scientists are looking at you know, chocolate curing cancer, and that's our new fucking little tidbit of news for the day, and we feel good about that. We're like, science is progressing, yay. We don't even fucking know what the hell's going on. Like, do you know who is the smartest man right now? I mean, that's kind of sad. I would actually have to look him up. I don't even remember his name. I know what he looks like, but I don't remember his name. He's like this physicist guy who's like considered to be just the most brilliant man on this planet, but you don't know his name. And I'm like, it should be easier now to know the names and faces of the smartest people on Earth, but that's not who we care about nowadays. You know, like we have access to information, so we want to know what the fuck Lindsay Lohan is doing, or we want to know what fucking other celebrities are doing.
But here's the deal. You can take, as far as this message board argument, God, I know this, to the ends of the earth, I know this, is that you can find evidence to support anything you want to support. So
even when you're completely
even
wrong.
When you're completely wrong. So it's hard because all it takes is a slight manipulation of one word or meaning, and you can give a completely different slant to whatever you're talking about. And that's the problem. If you want to ask me why so many people are with God, it's because nobody knows who to trust anymore. There's so much information overload. Everybody has to pick what they think is the most true, and to a large degree, you have to decide. Even I, as a liberal, reading these liberal news sites, every so often I take a few seconds and I think, holy shit, you know what? If I was reading this from thinking that my perspective on the right was correct, I would be enraged at some of the shit these guys are writing, because you look at it from the basis of what your base arguments and what your base beliefs are, and you build up from there.
Yeah, well, what are the axioms of what you're saying? So, yeah. So like, again, going back to math, when you're trying to prove something mathematically, you require axioms, statements that you just take as being facts. Like, these things have been proved at least to a degree that, you know, mathematicians can be happy about. And you use these same axioms to kind of build on other, you know, later theories. So you just, the things that you assume are true have to be true in order for you to be able to make the right predictions. Mm. Otherwise, if your axioms are all wrong, then not only are your models completely, you know, incomplete, but they might not even describe anything real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at just truth. What's true and what's not? Oh, all of a sudden, religious people are saying, oh, well, you know, the evolution is just a theory, and they're completely misusing the word theory.
And yeah, that's a classic.
And they're just reinterpreting what they believe is true, because they say, well, you know, we have this and this and this and this, which means that what you're saying isn't true yet. And that's how they whittle away, and that's how they attack pretty much everything.
It would be really, you know, it would be pandering to the stupid, but there is a simple way to change that, and it's just we changed some of our language. We get rid of the word theory. We just replace it with something else.
And the rule.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I mean, the whole theory in science is not theory in the English language. So I'm like, why don't we just change it? This is becoming a problem. People are just...
Theory and theorem.
They're misusing this word, so we need to stop using it. And it may feel like it's really... We shouldn't have to do that. But we don't live in a world of shouldas, okay? We live in a world of yagotstas. And you fucking gotstas, because this is how they're winning arguments. The stupidest fucking misuse of language ever. Evolution is a theory. So is gravity, fucker. Yeah, like, honestly. You know, the fact that that the Earth rotates around the sun is a theory. It's a theory.
We got lots of evidence, but it's still just a theory.
It's just a theory.
Lovely.
Fucking hate that shit.
Okay, with that, I do conclude all mailbag questions read.
All right, well, that's our show, so that's a huge one. I'm going to put a little disclaimer at the beginning. Be aware, folks, this is a massive fucking show.
If you notice it continuing to go on and on and on and on, you are not going crazy.
Yeah, that was a really, really long show. Luckily, you have the option to pause, and I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to put it out there right now, which is unfortunate because this is at the end of the show. But I think that you should have listened to this when you were exercising, because you just did great.
Yeah, you'll be fit. You'll be fitter than shit.
Exactly. Good. An hour and a half of fucking cardio. That's what some of the people were complaining, because some people wanted it 45 minutes, because that's how long most people do their cardio workout for. And they're like, it ends. And then I got 15 minutes to fuck around. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You should just get a biking podcast or a workout podcast. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.